We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Comic book characters are known for possessing awesome abilities outside of the scope of humanity. Superman is a Superman, possessing the ability to fly, super strength, and freeze breath. Thor possesses the power of a god and commands thunder and lightning. Cyclops emits a powerful energy beam or optic blast from his eyes. The Flash has super speed, and in modern-day representations, can slow time down around him by moving so quickly. All these characters have great abilities, but what about you? What's your superpower?
I want to welcome everybody to Redemption Church. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm lead pastor here, and I'm so glad that you're here with us in person or watching us via the internet. We're glad for whomever may be listening, whether here or from abroad. We are in the last week of our Superpowers series, and we've talked about vision, we've talked about super strength, we've talked about invincibility, and we've talked about teleportation, all right? Talked about all those very nerdy comic book superpowers. And I'm not going to take time to do like a full review today, but if you missed any of the preceding weeks, I'd like you to log on to our website, www.redemption-church.com. We got some sermons there. You could check out this sermon series and find all those sermons right there. Again, life isn't meant to be ordinary. Life is meant to be super. This is true no matter who you are. In fact, this might shake your theology a little bit, but I mean this. Whether or not you believe in Christ, that statement is true for you. Whether you believe in the Christian God of the Bible or not, there is something on the inside of you. I'm talking, if an atheist is checking this out right now, there's something on the inside of you right now that knows you were called to do super things. That says I was meant to do big things. That I was made to make a difference on the earth. You know somewhere inside of you that you're called to be a super dad. You're called to be a super mom. Kids, you're called to be super kids. You're called to be super employees and super employers. You're called to be super friends. You know this, that you should be better than you are. In fact, when you go to sleep at night, sometimes that haunts you a little bit. I should be better than I am. You know that your life's not meant to be ordinary. You're meant to be super. You may believe that you were created by God, or you may believe that you're created by some happy accident of evolution. But even though those views are miles apart, can we at least agree that what we have right here in front of us, that what we have in this day, what we have in this moment, what we have in this life, is an unbelievable opportunity? We can all agree on that, I think. We would be crazy to take this opportunity for granted. It would be insane not to make the most of this life. It would be insane not, you woke up today and not make the most of today, because you know that your days are numbered. You only have so many of these days. You should make them the best. This life should not be ordinary. It should be super. And we asked you in a text to tell us what superpower you would choose. What superpower you would choose. And most of you people wrote today's superpower. I bet you can guess what it is. Just really quick, throw out some guesses. No. The wrong one there, tech team. Not Superfly. Superfly, one man's plan to stick it to the man. But rather, the superpower to what? To fly. Most of you said that. Tech team, very cute. Very cute, tech team. R. Kelly, everyone, before he was creepy. All right. Most people, when you ask them about superpowers, they tell you really quick, I would love to fly. I'd love to fly. In fact, that was the first thing I thought of, and I was like, no, everyone's going to say that. I should come up with something really a lot nerdier, like mind control. And that's creepy, too. Who's the first superhero you think of when it comes to the superpower of flight? Right? Superman. Of course, he is usually the comic book hero we think of when it comes to flying. But how does Superman fly? We've liked to tell you over the weeks how these superheroes fly. And this one's really tough. I asked Google, and I found a bunch of amazing amount of nerds arguing in forums online. What do nerds do during the day when they aren't in their basement playing video games? They argue on online forums. That's what Reddit is. That's all Reddit is. When I asked them, they were all over the place. Originally, Superman did not fly. Did you know this? Originally, Superman did not fly. He could, as stated in the 1940s cartoon, say it with me, leap tall buildings in a single bound. He could really leap really tall enough that it could be like flying, but originally he could not fly. He could just jump. And they thought, man, that's just not super enough. We need to change this. Actually, when making the cartoons, the Fleischer brothers, the guys who made the cartoons, found it difficult to keep animating him leaping, and they requested to DC Comics to change his ability from jumping really good to flying. And that's how it came about. This was especially convenient for short films, which would have otherwise had to waste precious running time moving earthbound Clark Kent from place to place. You just have to watch him jump from city to get back to Metropolis. All right. Riders gradually increased his powers to larger extents during what's called the Silver Age, all right, in which Superman... Got some amens from a nerd back there. In which Superman could fly to other worlds and galaxies and even across universes with relative ease. So it went from he can jump to he can fly a little bit to he can fly anywhere in the universe, all right? And these are other arguments there are other arguments they had all about that tried to explain how he could fly. You have Earth's yellow sun or Kryptonians' mastery over gravity. And so they just spent way too many posts arguing, I think it's because Kryptons are just superior to Earthlings when it comes to gravity. Awesome. But at the very least, I think we could all agree Superman and all comic book heroes can fly simply because their creators said they could. Storm. Storm is a mutant on the what team? X-Men team. Very good. We don't know Bible, but we know our comic books. All right. Mutant genetics give her the ability to manipulate weather. Storm is able to fly by creating wind so strong enough to support her weight, the weight of others, and to propel her forward through the air. Storm can thus travel as fast as wind can. And wind has reached up to speeds of 300 miles per hour, so Storm's pretty fast there. Magneto is a supervillain. He's the nemesis of the X-Men. He's also a mutant, and he has the ability to control magnetism. Get that? Clever. His name's Magneto, right? All right. That's a very strong superpower. The whole world is kind of based on magnetic poles, right? And he can fly, apparently by several means. He can fly, one of which is by gliding along the planet's natural magnetic lines of forces. Other by simply creating a repulsive force between himself and the planet, propelling himself thus. All right, so you can just picture all these nerds trying to explain why their favorite hero can fly. And then Thor. Thor is one more, and Thor is really strange when it comes to flying. Thor is the Asgardian god of thunder and possesses the enchanted hammer of Mjolnir, which grants him the ability to fly. As posted on comicalmusings.com, Thor is able to fly using a combination of his hammer, Mjolnir, and a poor understanding of physics. Basically, he uses his super strength to throw Mjolnir. Then he holds onto the strap of his hammer, and the hammer causes him to fly. So he's like, okay, I need to fly over there. Shing! And he flies. Brilliant, of course. All right. No matter how one is able to fly, we can all imagine how amazing it would be to fly. I'm afraid of heights, but even I would love to be able to fly. If you can fly, you probably shouldn't fall to your death. So that's appealing. You have probably thought about what it would be like to fly. To fly through clouds, just to take off and look at this beautiful world. Some of us have dreams about that in our sleep. Flying is a cool superpower. Mankind has long dreamed about flying. You got Daedalus and Icarus in Greek mythology. And these guys were trapped in Minos' labyrinth, and they fashioned wings, and they flew away. Icarus flew too close to the sun. You've got artist and inventor Leonardo da Vinci, and he seems so obsessed with building a way for mankind to fly. His sketches predated these guys, the Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur, who created the first successful airplane. Their first flight was in December 17th, 1903. If you think about it, man hasn't been flying all that long. The first human space flight was April 12, 1961, by the Soviet Union cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin. Humans aren't created to fly normally. Your grandmother used to say, if God had created man to fly, he would have given him wings, right? Didn't grandma say that? She refused to get on an airplane. All right. Now, I'm no physics expert, and that is the overstatement of the century. I'm terrible at the idea of physics. But as I studied flight, something jumped out at me. Flight is basically defiance against the law of gravitation. Newton, not Fig Newton, the cookie, but Sir Isaac Newton, the physicist, gave us the law of universal gravitation. I want you to take your finger, push it up your nose. That's pushing up your nerd glasses for a second. We're talking about the universal law of gravitation, all right? And it states that two bodies in the universe attract each other with a force that is directly proportional to the product of their masses and inversely proportional to the square of the distance between them. You got that right? What? I got some of it, right? Me neither. Let me explain it for you. Basically, two objects, two bodies, anywhere in the universe are attracted to each other. And the bigger they are, and the closer they are, the stronger that gravitational attraction. Are you with me? Are you tracking with me? That's why all the girls are attracted to the huge, muscular dudes in high school. Not a scrawny guys on the chess team. It's because that mass right there. It's the universal law of dynamics right there. Science. All right. By the way, this law has led to several great nerdy pickup lines. Feel free to use any of these. Matthew, singling them out. That's so mean. All right. Baby, I can feel an attraction between you and me, and it's more than just our universal gravitation. Or baby, I'm attracted to you, and according to Newton's law of universal gravitation, I know that you're attracted to me as well. Yeah. Don't try that at home. All right. Okay, so flight really is a defiance against the law of universal gravitation. You've got these two bodies that are attracted to each other. Your physical body and the ground, this earth, is a body, and it is attracted. Your body, when you try to jump, this body of the earth just grabs you and brings you right back down. Gravity keeps you together, and that's kind of a good thing, or else you'd float away into the sun. All right? For centuries, this law kept mankind from achieving the dream of flying. The dream of flight grounded mankind. Men who dreamed about flight were held down by this law. What goes up must come down. The law declares that these two bodies will be pulled together, that no matter how far you are, you're going to be pulled. Get this, it says every body in the universe. That means that there is a rock on Europa, one of the moons of Jupiter right now, and it is pulling you. That's crazy. There is somebody's kitchen table right now in China, and you're being drawn to it. That's what the law says. Anywhere in the anything you can point to in the universe is attracting you, and it will attract you the more it's big and the more it is close to you. That's the law. We have these laws that always seem to pull on us, that always seem to hold us down and to hold us back. Maybe there's something in your life, maybe a past mistake, maybe a bad habit, Maybe something someone said to you, and you always keep coming back to that. It's like no matter where you go in life, there is that thing, and it just, it brings you right back. There's this body out there, and you don't even know it's there, but it keeps, here we are again. No matter what you do in life, there's something pulling on you. It's a universal truth. But I want to tell you that flight defies the law. Flight defies the law. Even though there is an object pulling back, even though there's this gravitational pull, still objects are able to fly. A common sparrow with just a little bit of effort is able to defy the pull of this huge earth. This huge earth, this little sparrow flaps its wings, he beats that earth. The sparrow defies the law. A 747 jet weighs over 4,000 tons. Yet through a good design and proper use of force, it is able to overcome the law of gravitation and overcome its own weight to fly. Bumblebees are a special example. Given their body shape and weight, the size of their small wings, it has always been amazing that bumblebees could fly. Science has spent lots of money and lots of time trying to figure out how bumblebees are able to fly. The bumblebee has to overcome a lot, but it flies. They tried to build models of how it flies, and they've had so much trouble. Finally, scientists came up with this brilliant idea. Here is how bumblebees fly. They just flap their wings harder than most insects. Aren't we glad we spent all that thousands of dollars on that scientific research? My cousin Jethro, all right, could have told us that, right? Flight is an amazing superpower. This superpower goes far beyond being able to soar through crowds. It goes far beyond being a mode of transportation, getting you from here to there. Flying defies the earth. It defies the law. And it defies every other thing in the universe trying to pull it back. Flight means you have defeated what has been trying to pull you down. Who wants to fly? Who wants to defeat today what's been pulling them down? Can I tell you about a guy who defeated what was pulling all of us down? Maybe you've heard of him. What do you think his name is? Good job, Jesus. We know about comic books and Jesus. We're getting better. Jesus defies. Jesus Christ did things no man should ever be able to do. There is this law that pulls on every one of us, and it says, you can't do that. You shouldn't be able to do that. That is physically impossible. But even though the natural law pulled against Jesus, he broke free. He broke free of that natural law, and he did the supernatural. History bears that he healed the sick and he raised the dead. But that's impossible. How can that be done? I'll tell you how it's been done. He broke free from that natural law. He defied that natural law. Jesus fed thousands of people with only enough food to feed one, maybe two people. That's impossible. He defied the law of supply right there. There's this truth right there, and there's this sack of lunch. You can't get, there's no way it's going to feed. He took that sack of lunch and he defied the law. He defied the law of supply. And Jesus, we know he lived a sinless life. It is a fact that all of us do wrong things. We say wrong things. We think wrong things. That's just natural. But Jesus defies the natural. And according to Scripture, 1 John 3:5, but you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him, there is no sins. You see, sin is just natural. But Jesus broke that law. He did something supernatural. The sin that holds us all down and we couldn't defeat, he defeated it. And everyone dies and stays dead, right? It's sad. No one is buried in a tomb and 3 days later comes out of that tomb. It just does not work that way. That just doesn't happen. But don't tell Jesus that, because a resurrected Jesus broke free from the natural law, and Jesus did supernatural. History bears all of this out. Revelation 1:18, we have Jesus. He says, "I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Jesus defies all the laws of this world that holds you down. Everything pulled on him. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, but without sin. Hebrews 4:15 says that he withstood everything and he won. He overcame. I'm going to tell you, Jesus doesn't just defy the things that pulled on him, but he defies the things that pull on you. Did you know that? Romans 8:2 says this, "Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." Jesus Christ has set us free from the law of what? Sin and death. You are free from the law that pulls you back to earth. Through Jesus, you are free from sin and death. See, there is this law, and it's going to pull you not just back to earth. It is going to pull you to a place called hell. Sin and death. It's got a grasp on every one of us. But Jesus Christ, he defies not just that law for himself, but he defies that law for you. Amen. Can I ask you, what's pulling you down? In order to fly, you have to have a force at work that is greater than the gravity pulling you down. Does that make sense? Because you got your body weight, you've got the gravity pulling you down. In order to fly, you've got to have a force behind you greater than what's pulling you down. That bumblebee needs to have enough force coming from its wings to overcome his weight, to overcome gravity, and to overcome the lack of an aerodynamic body. The law of universal gravitation says that you are being pulled from every direction in the universe. And you feel that way, don't you? Some of you, as I'm talking about this, you're like, man, that is my life right now. And the closer that object is, the bigger and the more overwhelming it is, the more it just seems to affect us. It's the law of universal gravitation. See, what is the big close thing that is pulling you down right now? What is it? I want you to think about it. I want you to get it in your heart. What is it? Do you have an alcohol addiction? Do you have a drug addiction? Do you have a porn addiction? What is that thing? Any kind of addiction that keeps holding you down. Have you tried to stop? But that thing is just, it's just too big. It's just too close. It's always on your mind. You just can't get away from it everywhere you go. No, I'm not going to think about that. There I am thinking about it again. It keeps pulling you. You've tried to stop, but you keep falling back into it. You aren't strong enough to break free. It always drags you back. There's this law. Can I tell you real quick? Jesus defies that. Jesus looks that thing in the eye and he says, no. No more. You see, in order to fly, you need a force behind you stronger than what's pulling you back. All right? Jesus defies this law. He declares that you're free. If the Son has made you free, what happens? You are free indeed. Jesus defies it today. I want you to know he defies that. Maybe you've got some past mistakes in your life. And everywhere you go, whatever you do, these mistakes keep coming back to your mind. Maybe something someone said about you when you were little young. You know, people can say hurtful, awful things about us and not even think twice. It's absolutely true. And there they are. They said this thing to you and they don't even remember it. But you can't forget it. Maybe they said you're fat. Maybe they said you're ugly. Maybe they said you're stupid. Maybe they said you've got no worth in your life. Maybe they said, man, that's the reason all this bad stuff happens. And no matter where you go in life, even though you've gone through therapy, even though you've talked it out, even though you've done things, that thing is somewhere in the universe and it keeps pulling you back. I'm talking, man, you know, some people would just pass that off. Oh, that's no big deal. No, that's a huge deal. But I've come to tell you a bigger deal. Jesus Christ defies that law. He says, no way. He says, that's not you. You're not worthless. You're worth dying for. You are unloved. You are my beloved child. The Father in heaven sees you and he sees Jesus. He says, he declares that you are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What is that? That's crazy. You shouldn't, God shouldn't give you anything, but he is, you are inheriting everything that Jesus inherits. Don't let that stuff pull you down. Jesus does not want that stuff to pull you down. Micah 7 and 8 tells us this. Do not gloat over me, my enemy, though I have fallen. Let's stick on this fallen a little bit. I was up here. Now I am down here. Something has just tripped me up. And I've tried my best to walk this life, but it's pulled me down all the way down. But you shouldn't gloat over me, my enemy, though I've fallen, though you've pulled me down to the deepest, darkest pit. I want you to say the next three words with me, Redemption Church. I will rise. See, that's some flight right there. That's some flight right there. That is written by a guy named Micah who didn't have a rosy life right there. He was going through a lot of struggle. Israel was going through a lot of heartache. Israel had been through so much. And they were down, down, fallen. Oh, but how does this whole story end up for Israel? They're going to rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Katie, I want you to come. You are meant to do great things in this life. I don't know what anyone told you. I don't know what you think about yourself. But I want you to hear the words. You're meant to do great things. God wants you to hear those words today. It would be a shame to allow other things to drag you down. Remember, in order to fly, you have to have a force at work for you that is greater than the gravity pulling you down. Do you think we have that kind of force in our life today? The Bible, what's the biggest body right now attracting us right now, physically? It's the earth, right? It's actually even bigger than the IRS, believe it or not. It's the earth, right? This earth. But what does the Bible say? It says, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Greater than the force of the world pulling you down, greater is inside of you. You have a force inside of you that beats all the pulling, all the struggle, all the things that are your shortcomings. Jesus Christ was buried in a tomb, and death couldn't keep him down. He rose from the grave, and then he walked the earth as a resurrected Lord. And can you imagine the look on people's faces when people that actually yelled, crucify him, people that actually took spears and stabbed him, when they saw him walking the streets as a resurrected Lord? Think about that for a moment, because it happened. This earth couldn't hold him down, because this resurrected Lord, he ascended. So he's up from the grave. Actually, we could go one more step, because after he died upon the cross and was buried, he went to hell. Peter tells us that he went to hell to preach to all those people that were held captive. He went as far down as anyone could ever go. That's some crazy picture of Jesus right there. We see, you know, pretty pictures of Jesus painted everywhere. I've never seen someone paint us a picture of him in hell. Peter gave us that picture. He went from hell back to this earth, and he went to heaven. Nothing can hold our Lord down. Acts 1:9, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intensely up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they asked, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Can I tell you, nothing on this earth can hold your Savior down. He flew up to heaven. And the disciples, can't you just imagine these disciples? There's 11 of them here. At least 11. There might have been some more, actually. But they're all up there, and they're like squinting. They're like, "I think I see him. Is he behind that cloud?" I mean, they've watched him go this whole way. And I don't know how slow or fast he went. Might have taken, what if it took like 5 minutes and he's just like slowly gravitating? But anyway, he's up there and they're like, "What's going on?" And it's like these angels were watching this and they're like, "We got to do something about this because these guys are going to be here forever." So they walked up and they said, "What are you looking at? He's gone. He's gone back to heaven. What are you standing around for looking up into the sky?" You know what it really is? It's like the angel is trying to say, "Guys, you got work to do. There's stuff for you to do. Guys, don't you realize that this Christ is your force? And because you preach him, you're going to lay hands on the sick and they recover. Peter, you are going to talk to people in Acts chapter 2. And 3,000 people are going to get saved. People of all nations, Gentiles, you Jewish guys, this is going to blow you. You're just standing around looking up into the sky, wishing you could do that. Guys, don't you understand? One day, that same Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to come back just like he left, and he's going to take you with him." See, nothing's going to hold you down either. Y'all go out and you preach the gospel. At least I think that's what the angels were trying to say. What would they tell you? You think they'd tell you anything different? Would they tell you you've got great things ahead of you? Your Jesus walked up to some fishermen and he said, "Greater works than all of these shall you do." I think you should be reminded of that. You're supposed to do great, amazing, super things. But it's hard to do great super things if you've never overcome your struggle to get off the ground. If Superman could never get off the ground, it'd take him a whole lot longer to go save Lois Lane. Taxi, not as cool for the Man of Steel. Agreed. This Jesus, he got off the ground. He went up into the clouds. The Bible tells us that the force that raised Jesus from the dead and the force that carried him to heaven is available to us. That's what the Bible says. It's in Romans 8:11. It says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Christ, who raised Jesus from the dead, if the Spirit of him," who's him? It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Father in heaven. It's God, the one who created all things. "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living," where? "In you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." Jesus defies everything that held him back. Jesus defies everything that holds you back. Let me give you a little quick picture of that. One day, Jesus is saying, "Listen, guys, I've got to go die. I've got to go to the cross." And Peter says, "No, no, Lord, not so. We're not going to let that happen." And Jesus defied his friend. Because at that moment, his friend was holding him back. And he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He called Peter Satan. Satan right there means enemy. Can I tell you something? Some of the things holding you back are relationships. And you can love those people, but it's time to stop letting them hold you back. Don't let them hold you back. Peter, you're not going to hold Jesus back. Nothing held Jesus back. It's time to stop things from holding you back. If you could ever just get off the ground, here's a little secret for you. The hardest part is starting. The hardest part of flying is taking off. I've also heard landing can be rough. But the hardest part is just getting off the ground. Remember, the closer you are to an object, and the bigger it is, the greater its gravitational pull. So that means the takeoff is the hardest part. That means that moment where you finally are trying to remove yourself from that object, that is the most difficult part. Physically, physics would agree with me, right? What I'm about to tell you is crucial, so I want you to listen up. I'm talking to some people here that are standing really close to your problem. You walked in here today and that problem is right on you. Some of you got maybe finance problems. Some of you got like secret problems y'all don't want anyone to know about. You think people would judge you. But anyway, you're sitting here and that problem is right here. It's right here. And you can sing a few songs and try to get off your mind. But you know, as soon as you walk outside of these doors, it's going to be like, hello. Hello, darkness, my old friend. You aren't flying right now. You're grounded. That thing's in your face, and it's huge, and it's all you can see. It's tough, and it's difficult, and I'm not playing that down. Believe me, I understand. I've got my own struggles. But here's the tip. If you could ever just get off the ground, it would become easier. You see, if you could get any distance between you and that object, then the power of that pull is less. You see, the hardest centimeter is to get off the ground. The second centimeter is easier. The third centimeter is even easier. Why? Because there's space between you and that object. Am I making sense? The power of that gravity is lessened with every bit of space you get between you, this body and that body. I'm talking to people that need to take that first step. You need that first centimeter. And I've got to warn you, it's the hardest step. We're about to open up this altar today. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We've worshiped together. We've received the word of God together. And we're going to talk to God together. That's what prayer is. It's talking to God. And I would like everyone to come today. Just come down. Take a step from your chair and gather in this altar. I promise no one's going to mess with you. If you want special prayer, you just come in the first 2 feet. I promise no one's going to bother you or like lay hands on you and yell at you or whatever you think happens at church. And I know that's different for some of you, but I'm telling you, it's that first step and it's the hardest. You need to try it. And you watching this online right now, you need to do something too. You need to get ready to talk to God. You need to be ready to take a step towards Him today. And I'm going to pray for you to come today. I'm going to pray that as you come, you're making the choice to be closer to Jesus and further from your secret struggles. In fact, as you come today, I would like you to imagine this is me creating space between me and my problem. And every step you get should be an easier step than the last one until you're right down here and asking God to come fill that space with Himself. Will you do that today? To be closer to the Savior today and further from your past. To be closer to your Father and further from what is weighing you down. I want you to all stand. I want you to bow your heads. I'm going to pray over us. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, that greater is in us. Lord, we are so thankful, God, Lord, that you defied sin and death, God. And now we have that hope. Right now, I pray for every person in this room, God, Lord, that they would create some space between them and their problems, that they would create space between them and their worries, between them and their struggles, between them and their past. God, that they would create space, God, and that those problems would stop being the biggest things in our life, God, but that you would be the biggest thing in our life, that the pull we get from you would be drawing us closer to peace, that would be drawing us closer to love, that would be drawing us closer to heaven and forgiveness. We pray that right now in Jesus' name. Why don't you take that step right now? Come on, take that step. Someone take that step. Make it a step of faith. You don't have to, it doesn't have to make sense to you for you to make the step. You just make the step. All that's required for you to make the step right now is for you to say, I'm tired of being closer to this thing, and I'm ready to be closer to my King.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.